Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
Tweet at Miriam O'Cal. Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
Our text number 51551. You can email us at miriam@rte.ie. Well, sitting in front of me is Pat Wallace, the former director of the National Museum. But when he was a very young archaeologist, actually aged just 25, he was tasked with heading up the Wood Quay excavation that was discovering treasures from our Viking past. But it was a poisoned chalice, because not only was he trying to complete a dig, which took over his life for years, he was also battling Dublin Corporation, who had their bulldozers revving to start building their new offices. And Pat wasn't getting the support from his superiors in the museum. Well, the story is all going to be told in the latest episode of Fine on TG Cahir this coming Wednesday night at 9:30. Good morning, Pat Wallace.
Good morning, Miriam.
And I watched it last night, actually. It's a very good doc. Just, I was thinking, remind people, I think you became the archaeologist at 25 in Wood Quay in 74. Remind people what Wood Quay was, for people who don't remember.
Yeah, Wood Quay was is a four-acre site on the south bank of the Liffey. The National Museum, and the National Museum should take a lot of credit for the work that's been done down there. But the... We were digging in Dublin for 20 years at that stage. Brendan O'Riordan, a great archaeologist, had been working on behalf of the National Museum on sites like Wine Tavern Street, High Street and that, and spectacularly at Christchurch Place, a great site, at the other side of the cathedral from Wood Quay. So we were finding Viking Age Dublin. We were finding the remains of buildings, pathways, boundary fences, incredible caches, if you want to use that word, of artefacts and environmental evidence. So we knew it was very rich. The museum knew, but the Dublin Corporation at the time wanted to get on with their new civic offices. So it was felt, I think, at the back of people's minds, look, we'll do a quickie in Wood Quay. We'll respond to the public outcry for excavation by doing some trial work. But, of course, they weren't to know the great quality of the results that we were unearthing.
And we'll discuss those in a moment. Go back, you're a Limerick man, the son of a blacksmith.
That's right, yeah. Going back, we were doing that 200 years, at Wallace's Cross, may I say, near Skeeton in West Limerick. That's my background. And in fact, I cannot think of, even though we weren't exactly rolling in riches, I cannot think of a better background for learning about artefacts, trade, business, and characters. I mean, if you grow up in that environment, it's a bit like Lynn there, who you just interviewed. Yeah. It's the community, it's the characters, the eccentricities of fellows, you know. I was just thinking there the other day of Pa McMahon. Now, Pa is long dead. But Pa had a habit of twining the pedals of his bike to preserve him and make him last longer. There are thousands of characters like him that I can recollect. And please God, if I get a chance before I go, I'd love to write about those, because I can tell you, Miriam, they're just as interesting, and that environment is just as interesting thing as anything in medieval Ireland.
It's so interesting. And do you think you got part of your interest in history and archaeology through your own background? And why did you choose to be an archaeologist?
I chose to be an archaeologist. My father was very interested, but his interest was studbook history and politics. He was very involved politically. He could tell you he was interested in people's connections. I remember being in Limerick as a boy with him one day, and he showed me a man across the street, and he said to me, "That man is a seventh cousin of ours." And that's the way people in the country relate. Yeah. He could do the same, of course, with horses. So I was blessed in the primary school with a great teacher, Eric O'Shea, half Kerry man, but we won't hold that against him.
He's a great Kerry man.
He was a fabulous teacher, and we had a kind of a hedge school environment. I remember him teaching us quality historical things when we were only 10 and 11 and 12. A remarkable man. And then that continued in the secondary school, the Skeeton, which was a lay school, co-educational. co-denominational. We had Protestants as well. And it was a fabulous environment. We had two wonderful women there. And one of them who's still alive, thank God, Nora Hawkes in Kilbeha. And they were inspirational. And very tough, though, good blesses. They would stretch us about exam results, the Ivrier, the Einfrigenalkata, all these things. We were stretched and pulled. But after all of that, I was lucky enough to stay with my love of history. I had an uncle, Dick Stokes, who was very interested. He was a bachelor, hung out with him. So history, the past, quality craftsmanship, all of that was to the fore, and local characters. I remember, for instance, a man called Tom Connors, going to a Skeeton one day with a bundle from Sea Cowan, a bundle of scallops to thatch houses. Now, there's not that many archaeologists left in Ireland who could remember a man doing that trade, which would have gone back to the beginning of time.
Wow. How did you get into the National Museum? Because you got in quite young. That must have been, if you're an archaeologist, though, a young archaeologist, a great place to get into.
It was. I was lucky, I suppose, I have to confess, or maybe unlucky when I think back on it now, but you don't know. I went to college, university, I became first in my county in the Leaving Cert, Limerick.
Wow.
Which, a great year for Limerick, by the way. We can't let that pass. More important than anything, we won the All-Ireland this year.
Of course.
But still, that's
a high achievement to get first place in your
degree. Oh, yeah. And in fact, I put down archaeology and history as my two big subjects in university, and I studied them in Galway. Left Galway then and came to Dublin doing postgraduate, mainly in the National Library, which is an institution I adore, by the way. Mm. And I, because of its potential and its relevance to the story of Ireland. But I then went for the job in the museum, and I wouldn't have been one of the most senior, experienced postgraduates in archaeology, but I did. I pulled through, and I impressed the board, I think, you know.
What did you say, do you think, that swung it?
Well, I made mistakes at the interview board. I remember very well. I heard there was, experienced men, Tom Fanning and David Sweetman, and others in for jobs, and I couldn't compete with those. They were older and better than I was. So I was asked why I didn't go for that, and I stupidly said to the interview board, I heard that was sewn up. And, of course, the civil servant nearly had a heart attack. And I remember Professor De Valera, Rory Dev, saved me. I remember him smoking a box of 20 senior servers. Everyone smoked those days, like myself. He reached across to me a cigarette, and he said, I'm sure what the young man meant was there was men more qualified than himself in for the job.
That was so kind of him.
Oh, he saved me. I was gone only for that, and because through my own stupidity. But I also made some smart cracks about the clothes of women in the early Christian period in Ireland, which I can't repeat on a family programme early in the morning.
But obviously went down
I got in anyway. And,
but interesting, you said a minute ago when I asked you about getting in there, you were lucky, or maybe you were unlucky.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Well, maybe I could have done other and more satisfying things with my life. I mean, when I look back now, I'll be 70 this week, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. But I think I could have done other things. I would like to have worked on the radio, funny thing. I would like to have done journalism. I stupidly toyed with the idea that I'd love to have worked in foreign affairs, but no, that wouldn't have worked for me with my kind of personality. I'm too blunt, too modiric, and I wouldn't have been a good diplomat.
You're only turning 70. You can start a whole new career, okay, Pat? So back to Woodkey, you got dispatched there as a young archaeologist aged 25 in 1974.
Yeah.
How important do you believe this site was?
Well, to be honest with you, Miriam, I now know how important it is and was, but I didn't realise the enormity of it. I had just done an excavation, a small one, in Wexford, in Oyster Lane, down in Wexford. I did that very well, but it was only a small site with a small staff. But obviously it impressed Lucas, and he was the director of the museum, and Joe Raftery, the keeper of Irish Antiquities, who was my line manager. So they put me in there. But they put me in there for an ulterior motive. They put me in as their boy that they could pace the site, get me out of it fairly fast, get the museum out of it. They weren't impressed with O'Riordan because O'Riordan was taking his time on the other Dublin sites. The ideal thing to have done was to put me under O'Riordan, which is effectively what I kind of became. I always sought his advice on things. But he was digging in Christchurch Place at the time. He was probably the most experienced urban archaeologist in Europe. And ideally, I would love to have worked under him. They wouldn't allow that because they thought he was dragging his feet. He wasn't. He was pacing his site into a research pace, and he came up with great results. That wasn't to be in the waterfront. I was lucky. The waterfront half of Wood Quay, that's the bit north of the city wall, and in the bed of what was the former, when the Liffey lapped that wall. That was all reclaimed by the Anglo-Normans about 1190, 1160 to 90 or thereabouts, 1170 to 90. That was all reclaimed. They put in a wooden dockside. That was a shovel job. There was no very much troweling necessary there. So I was lucky. The first few years in Wood Quay, a couple of years, I dug that with a huge workforce, with a large crew, and I unearthed the dockside of the Anglo-Normans. Now, that was easy archaeology, so I came in the easy way, even though spatially it was a very large area. Then, inside that town wall, south of the town wall, the wall was built, as I have established, in the later 11th century. But inside that wall was the Viking settlement. Now, that is a critical, very different kind of site. You're looking at the period from 900 up to about 1100 there. 900 up to about 1060 or so. And you had 14 different levels of habitation spread across that Fishamble Street side of that site. It was the best and remains the best urban town evidence for any town in Europe, certainly west of the Elbe. So there's nothing in Germany, Scandinavia, France or England with evidence like that. We know more about what Dublin's layout was like at the year 1000, its buildings, its pathways, its fences, its artefacts, its environment. We know more about Dublin than we do about any other town, even Paris or London. And of course, Berlin and Copenhagen are modern towns compared to Dublin.
And I know you think that her, watched it in the documentary last night, that isn't going out until next Wednesday. I just had a pre-copy. But you believe it was the most important work of your life.
Oh, absolutely. When I left that site in March, in Paddy's Day, that was our last day, 1981, a long time ago now, the city manager, by the way, Dublin Corporation, for all our troubles with Dublin Corporation, he was the only official to come down and say, well done and goodbye. But I knew when I was walking out that gate that day that I would never again, I was 32 or 3, I would never again do anything as important. And I haven't. I mean, we set up the two new branches of the National Museum, and I'm very proud of those, like Collins Barracks and the one down at Castle Bar. We have a storage area out in Swords, which is a very important part of the museum. We have a whole lot of new jobs in education and all of that was done afterwards by me as director of the museum. Not by me, but by the department of the time, by the ministers of the day. I had some great, I served 10 ministers. But all of that was nothing, even though it's a lot, compared to Wood Quay. I think Wood Quay is what I'd like to be remembered for.
And of course, just for people, you found, as well as obviously being the most important Viking site in Europe, you found ship planks still nailed together. You discovered the old wooden waterfront. But also, is it true your favourite piece, Pat, that you excavated and that was found was a beautiful piece of ironmongery?
No, I think the brilliant television director I had, Colin Burrell, was a genius. any credit for the television programme should go to him and to Aisling Yard, the producer.
Great.
Now, they picked that because of my background. That's a link piece, and it's an important piece to me. It evokes my origins, looking at my father and others.
In the forge at home
in Limerick. But there was another craft that I didn't mention, and that's carpentry. My great friend, Tom Healy, came on. He was an engineering graduate from Galway, a friend of mine from childhood. He came on to work with me. He taught me, Miriam, all the joints and everything about timber and carpentry, because his father had showed him at home at Skeeton, and his father was a great friend of my father. So not only does our knowledge of ironwork come from Skeeton, but also the wood, the timber. All. And Tommy and I, he's now living over in Galway, Tommy and I were able to reconstruct the houses on paper. We knew the angles of roofs, how the poles held up the Viking houses. No one ever had done anything like that. And that all comes from his influence on me.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, obviously, in the end, I'm going to ask you, did you lose in the end? I mean, looking at the news archive, even recalling it from Wood Quay, obviously, I think it was Father F.X. Martin who had organised the Friends of Medieval Dublin.
Father Martin is
to
giant.
Save it.
He's a giant in all this.
He
saved Dublin, really. I mean, I stopped the bulldozer, but I had no say. I could have been bulldozed off the side myself or removed. But Father Martin and his Friends of Medieval Dublin, Angrid Simms mainly, and Bride Rosny, they played a great part in making it possible for me. They organised the marches. There were two marches in September and later on, September 78. But that made it possible for me to gain extra time to do the excavations. And I must compliment to all the site workers, you know, the draftsmen, the archaeologists from UCD mainly, who worked with me. And Cork. Cork brought a new dimension. Their training was different, and we needed that kind of can-do approach of Cork, and the students brought that to me. So I was really the conductor of an orchestra.
In the end, would it be right or wrong to say you lost? In other words, how much did you manage to save from that site? Because in the end, the construction of the offices went ahead.
Yeah, I was never trying to stop the offices. If they wanted to build a nucleus silo on the site, that was the corporation's business. No, I wasn't there to stop. I was there to gain the maximum information from the ground. That's what the archaeologist does.
And did you succeed in doing them?
We did, but we were compromised. There were parts of the site bulldozed, and we were rushed, I suppose, to some extent. But I'm happy that, and I published a book there 2 years ago about all this, that we garnered the maximum information from the ground. And that's information is what the archaeologist is after. He's not there to block development or so-called development.
When you walked away that day, though, Pat, and you knew obviously the bulldozers would be in very soon, how did that make you feel that day?
It made me think, I hope to God now, the National Museum and the department, we were then under education, that they come up with the staff and the money to do the post-excavation work. They didn't, and that's still a museum obligation to do that. The National Museum is doing very well now, and I hope that they return to publishing the detailed volumes of the findings. We published 13 or 14 books already, but we need to do more.
Some questions for my listeners before we finish, Pat. Someone wants to know, were you involved? Esmond wants to know, were you involved in the excavations at Kells Priory in Kilkenny?
No, but I knew the excavator, Tom Fanning, God rest him, was a great friend of mine.
Okay. Another one. Ask Pat Wallace, Miriam, about Kevin Street Garda Station. It's empty now, gate blocked by hoarding. Parts of the building are 900 to 1,000 years old. Could it be another Wood Quay?
Well, it's too late because I presume they would have done the preliminary pre-development excavation in advance. So the Wood Quay stage of Kevin Street is over. But what Dublin really needs, Miriam, is a museum of Dublin itself. We, for some reason, we are a capital city who doesn't tell our own story with our archaeological and later artefacts. I regard Georgian Dublin equally important.
Another listener says Wood Quay was a lost opportunity. A visit to Jorvik in York shows the possible. Do you know that?
That's an Old Testament. No, is the answer to that. Jorvik is a great place to imagine and conjure up. It was designed by a friend of mine, Richard Hall, who's deceased, the excavator of Jorvik, but of Coppergate. No, Jorvik is just a reconstruction. What we need is information from the past, and we should never compromise on that.
Two more. While Viking Dublin and Wood Quay is very important, my past confirmed, please, that the largest and possibly oldest item in the National Museum is the Lurgan logboat from Adargul Bog, Milltown, County Galway. My great-grandfather was one of the men who discovered it. Thanks. Is that correct or not?
It's a great thing. It's the second largest single-piece dugout canoe in Ireland, and it's from the Beaker period, about 2200 BC. I'm not sure it's the oldest.
And finally, lovely to listen to our Limerick man's recounting, especially about Wood Quay. Miriam, worth mentioning is the archaeological find in Barcelona's Bourne district. Equally fascinating display of past BCN life. That's from Marie in Limerick. He doesn't know that, Marie. You know more than him, which is hard
to
say.
No, she's a Limerick woman. She would.
Yeah, of course she does. And one last one for you. Mary says the destruction of Wood Quay, heartbreaking. Such a site should never have been built on. The logboat is there. Listen, Pat Wallace, it's been a pleasure.